Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. A new month, which means we have a new theme.
Yes.
And our theme this month is worship, and I really think this is going to be a valuable month as we dive into the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say about worship. And I actually think it is the most important issue that each of us face as human beings. Whom will we worship? Mm-hmm. And we see it in the Garden of Eden. I think this issue of worship lured Satan to the tree to do what he did there and to press this question to Adam and Eve. Yeah. Are you going to worship the one true God and continue to follow him and be his little lapdog, so to speak? Are you going to stand up for yourself and be independent and ultimately saying, and worship me? That's what was going on there at that tree in the Garden of Eden many, many years ago. And at the end, we're going to see this issue come full circle again as Satan tries to round up all the armies to stand against the one true God and try to lure as many people away from worshiping the one true God and turning their worship onto him. That is the issue. That is the battleground. We see it really displayed vividly in the temptations of Jesus. So Jesus had been led out into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. He was out there 40 days. He was fasting all during that time, and he was being tempted by Satan. And that's why we know that he knows what we're going through.
Yeah.
He's been there. He's felt all of those temptations that Satan brings our ways. And the last one was this, in verse 8 of chapter 4, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. So he showed Jesus all of the kingdoms and basically saying, this is all yours. This can be yours. And that's what he said. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. There's the question. There's the issue. There is the single most important question that we face as human beings. That is the point where this battle rages right around who we will worship. And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." That's our victory, is in worshiping the one true God. Now, why is this so important for us to really get a hold of? Well, there's an old axiom that basically says whatever or whoever you worship will ultimately control you. So, you know, there's so many things that we can worship out there, and there's so many things that people do worship out there. And what are you doing? You are giving power to those things to take control of your life. Now, you may not know that you're doing that, and that may not be your intention, but when you bow down to worship something, that thing that you're worshiping will ultimately control you. We see it in little things. So kids want to be popular. They want to be a part of the in crowd, and so they begin to adore that in crowd. That's an aspect of what worship is. It's adoration. They begin to adore that in crowd. And pretty soon that in crowd is dictating what that kid wears, how he talks, the things that he does, and also that he can be a part of that group. He can get the accolades and the praises that that group gets from everyone else. So we see it there. But ultimately, it gets down to, I'm going to either worship Satan or I'm going to worship God. And that really is the battleground. Now, here's a couple of things about this word worship. The Greek word is a compound word. The root of it, kaneo, means to kiss or adore. And it's interesting, back in Persian culture or ancient Oriental culture, the mode of greeting one another all depended upon a person's rank. So if equals greeted one another, they did so with a kiss on the lips. If one was slightly inferior to the other, they greeted one another with a kiss on the cheek. If somebody was totally inferior to the one he was greeting, he would fall down, would bow down, he would tap his forehead to the ground, and then he would throw kisses toward the person that he was adoring or worshiping. That was the greeting, and that's what this word in the Greek is really pressing, is that deal, that when we worship God, we're actually bowing down to Him. That's what worship is all about. So who are you bowing down to? Well, our first act of worship, of genuine worship, as far as God is concerned, is when we receive the good news about Jesus and we receive Him into His heart. That's our first act of worship, when we bow down to Him in faith and receive His everlasting life. It's that act of belief. I'm believing, Jesus, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. I'm bowing down. I'm submitting myself to that truth and receiving You as my Lord and Savior. That is the first act of worship, and that's what Satan never wants us to ever get to. That's why he's doing everything in his power to keep people from receiving the Lord. That's why if you've ever had the opportunity to evangelize or witness to somebody, you see this struggle inside of that person. What is it? Well, it's a struggle of Satan trying to keep their attention and focus on him and the things of this world, rather than giving in and submitting to the will and to the way of the one true God through Jesus Christ. So this is such a vitally important issue. We're going to spend all month talking about what it means to worship the one true God. Let's take Jesus's example, that the world can offer us everything, but it doesn't compare to what we have in Christ. So let's let our focus, our worship, our adoration be directed to the Lord Jesus in all things.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and if you have a question about worship, if you'd like to add something to the conversation, why, that's why we're live right now during the 3 o'clock hour Central Time. We'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. That, of course, the toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We want to address your questions on Basic Gospel. We want to do it on the air, but we know that many of you can't call during the live broadcast, but there's still a way that your voice can be heard. All you need to do is simply go to basicgospel.net/ask. You'll have the option of recording your voice and posing your question that way, or you can write it in the message form. That's basicgospel.net/ask, and it's available 24 hours a day to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. We would love to hear from you. Again, basicgospel.net/ask. Well, guys, a question from Jeremy, who posed a question. He says, is repentance turning from a single act or just totally changing our minds about sin or about God?
Well, it's the latter.
Yes.
Repentance is a big word. It's a God word. It's something that God brings about in us. And it's when we turn away initially at salvation, when we turn away from that old life that we once lived and turn toward Jesus and receive the life that He offers. So that's what repentance is really all about. And it's something that we're always engaged in. As far as our minds are concerned, it's part of the renewing of the mind process. So we're continually weighing the things of the world to what we have in Jesus. And when, the Spirit does His work inside of us, we land our minds in the center of Jesus and His will for us. That's what repentance is all about, finding our minds, finding our hearts, being dead center in the will of Jesus Christ. So repentance is a very big thing. I know there are so many folks that simply reduce it down to, I've committed a sin, and now I need to repent of that, and, you know, say I'm sorry and move on. You know, like that's going to do like that's going to do anything. I think that is such a shallow understanding. Yeah. I mean, but repentance has some real depth to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Think about it in terms of this introduction you just gave to the idea of worship. Repentance is when I realize at the very core of my being that I've been worshiping the world system. That is, I've been worshiping Satan. And the Spirit has finally gotten through to me and say, you know, there is an alternative. And I can turn from worshiping Satan to worshiping the one true God in Jesus. And it's like the lights go on. The sky turns blue. The grass turns green. Because in that abject slavery of worshiping Satan is no freedom at all. If I am worshiping Jesus, if that repentance has happened, and I love the way you put it, it's that we were centered on Satan and now we're centered on Jesus, because repentance has to have an object. Well, when you've chosen to worship Jesus, that is true repentance. And you know, maybe it's a better way not to think of this not in terms of sin, although it has a lot to do with sin, but think of it in terms of where are you centered? Who is your object of worship? That's the point of repentance.
Yeah, absolutely. In Roman, the Roman Empire, each city was built around a main road, and they named that road the same thing as the heart, and that was the center of life there. And so, as a believer, our center of life was around the things of this world.
Yeah,
that's what centered everything that we did. We eventually came to a point and recognized that that was an empty center. There was nothing there. It was hollowed out. It looked good on the surface. It had all the trappings. But once you put a knife and fork in it and opened it up, it was nothing, no substance, anything that could sustain you. And so you get frustrated, you get helpless, you get hopeless. And finally, the gospel message hits, and you realize that you had been centered on the wrong thing your whole life, and you move away from that, and you get your heart and mind centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this repentance thing is all about. Now, once you're in Christ, once you belong to Him, once your heart has been directed toward faith and belief in Him, and again, you know, it's another thing that we see in the Word of God. We're unbelievers, and now we're believers. The sin of the world is unbelief. Yeah. What is the command of God? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that takes repentance. You know, repentance is the process that God takes us through to move us out of unbelief to belief. Well, what does a believing heart do? Well, it centers itself in the Lord Jesus. It recognizes that all of life, all of meaning and purpose is going to flow from this relationship with the Lord. And so we worship Him. And, you know, as we start to grow in Christ, you know, Satan isn't finished with his temptations. He's continually throwing stuff at us. He's continually knocking on the door. This world system that we live in is anti-God. And so we're constantly having to look at the things of the world in comparison to what we have in Christ. And this renewing of the mind keeps us centered in Jesus. You know, maybe we struggle, maybe we wrestle, maybe we give in to some of these temptations along the way. But God's Spirit still uses those things in such a way that our minds get even plunge deeper into the center of God's heart, His will, His life for each and every one of us. So it's a really, really, really big word, and I think we need to keep it as a big word. Yes. It's going to help us a lot in our communication one to another.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And again, friends, you can pose your question the same way that Jeremy did. Simply go to basicgospel.net/ask. That's available 24 hours a day. Right now, the phones are open at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Did you know that Basic Gospel has a daily e-devotional? Well, you can sign up for it at basicgospel.net, and you'll get the daily devotional. It also has a link to the previous day's broadcast. It's simply a one-stop shop for all encouragement, all the encouragement you would need in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you can sign up at basicgospel.net. Well, a question, guys, as the two of you and everybody listening knows, we're only 7 days away from knowing who the next president of the United States is going to be. So who are you voting for? Just kidding. Aaron did post a question about that, however. He said, at church, a member asked me a very pointed question this week. How can a Christian vote for Trump without violating his or her values? That's from Aaron in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Well, I think it's an interesting election cycle this year. We have two candidates that, seem to have their faults. They don't seem. They have their faults. And I think it's putting many Christians into a very tough situation. I think, we have that privilege in this country to vote, to have a say in what's going to happen. I think we as believers need to take that seriously. I think we should go vote. We should do our civic duty. But one thing I do want to communicate here and today is that our hope as believers is never pinned to a political solution.
Correct.
Or a political candidate. If it is, we need to step back and take a look at what we genuinely believe. And as I read Facebook posts and the fear and people wringing their hands over, oh my gosh, what's going to happen after November 8th? What is this country going to be like over November 9th? It's like, don't you believe in Jesus? Don't you know that Jesus is the sovereign king? Don't you know that he has the world in his hands? Don't you know that his kingdom is going to continue to advance? Don't you know that he is going to continue to save people and to bring hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, life to those who are dead in sin? Don't you know your Jesus? My goodness. And I think we all need to step back and ask ourselves, what are we really hoping in? Is our hope in America? Is our hope in a political system? Is our hope in a candidate? And if we answer yes to any one of those questions, we need to step back and say, why isn't my hope in Jesus? Because that's where it needs to be. Christians, we have a job to do. We have a kingdom that we're a part of. And we can advance this kingdom, whether a Democrat's in the White House or a Republican. So let's start there. Well, getting back to our say as far as our vote is concerned, I think we have to vote for the candidate that we think represents our values the best of anyone else. And I think we cast that vote and then we move on. And we look to Jesus for anything else in life.
Yeah.
We have this privilege. Take advantage of it. Let your voice be heard through voting. And then, man, continue to worship the one true God, allowing him to use you in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Let me read something that is the end of an argument that a writer was making. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. That's the end of the argument. What's the beginning of the argument? Fix your eyes on Jesus. This is Hebrews 12. If we would do that, then all of this noise, and that's really all it is, it's just noise, would go away, and we would see clearly and with discernment. And you can vote your conscience, and you may discover you voted correctly or voted incorrectly. It's just a vote. Okay? Jesus is forever. It's his power. Stop fearing. My
yes.
goodness.
Yeah. That's the thing that gets to me more than anything, is the amount of fear that's being expressed within the Christian community. Now, I can understand fear out there, but why is that the predominant emotion and feeling that we're seeing within Christian communities, within churches, or within, you know, all kinds of editorial opinions and things like that? Why is fear dominating those things from Christians? We have nothing to fear. I think as far as being a Christian, this is the most exciting time that we could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And I think we should look to the future with all kinds of optimism, all kinds of hope, all kinds of excitement, because truly our God reigns. And we can trust in that. We can rest in that. We can hope in that. And I think we can be emboldened in that and become courageous people who hold out the word of life to those who desperately need it.
Yeah. Aaron, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And finally, a question from Carl about the fivefold ministry that is divulged in Ephesians 4:11. And he would like to know, is that relevant today? So to fill the listeners in, the concept of the fivefold ministry comes from Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, primarily as a result of this verse. Some believe God has restored or is restoring the offices of apostles and prophets in the church today. What say you?
Well, the apostles have done their job.
Yes.
They were a select few, and they were to deliver to us the word of God, and they've delivered it to us. The Holy Spirit moved them in such a way that they delivered. So the word apostle just simply means one that is sent.
Yes.
And so God sent these 12 to fill a special purpose, a special role within the body of Christ. They've delivered the word of God to us. We take our stand right there.
Yes.
So everything is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Prophets of old, they delivered the word of God as well. That's what we see in the Old Testament. And they were delivering a word about Jesus. So continually they were unfolding the story of Jesus. Now Jesus came. The apostles took his life, and they showed us the meaning of what Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. So we take our stand there. That's the foundation that the church is built upon. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and the word of the prophets and the apostles as the foundation. Now, he's also ordered the body of Christ.
Yep.
And he is interested in equipping and building up the body. Why? Because he wants the body to fulfill its mission in this world today. And so he's equipped it with these certain people, pastors and teachers and those, so that we can be equipped to carry out the work of the ministry. Now, oftentimes we get that backwards.
Yeah.
We hire a pastor, and we want him to do the job. We want him to be the evangelist. We want him to be the guy that goes out there. But no, that's not his job. His job is to equip us so that we can carry out our work of ministry in our day-to-day lives. So we are the church. We're the body of believers. God has organized it in such a way, has gifted it in such a way that we can be built up individually, corporately, so that we can carry out our work in this world. As a royal priesthood, worshiping the one true God, giving him praise and glory, and helping others come to know him in that same way.
Yeah. Well, Carl, we appreciate hearing from you. We appreciate also hearing from Aaron and Jeremy and all of those of you who drop us an email or pose your question by recording. You know, at Basic Gospel, we're here to address your questions, and we'd like to do that on the air. We know many of you can't call during the live broadcast, but there's still that way that your voice can be heard. Simply go to basicgospel.net/ask. You'll have the option of recording your question in your own voice or writing it in message form. Our question will be on the air very, very soon. basicgospel.net/ask. It's available 24 hours a day, and let us hear from you. We'd love to pose your question on Basic Gospel. Well, again, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.